When we think of the Exodus, especially with regards to entering the Promised Land, there are many words or phrases that come to mind. We have crossing on dry land, perhaps a land flowing with milk and honey, or even grapes the size of plums. What I would like to examine in this opening message is another one of those words, spies. When we think of the spies, we probably have a picture in our mind of a nameless undercover agent breaking into a building or going behind enemy lines to retrieve some information, or maybe even to rescue someone. Or maybe a well-dressed man with a quintessentially British accent stood drinking his vodka martini, shaken, not stirred, of course. As the Israelites were about to enter the Promised Land, spies were sent out into the land before them, both by Moses and then 40 years later by Joshua. When looking at the two instances, there are similarities and differences. Today, we'll compare them and then see how we fit in with this today. What type of spy are we? Turn please to Numbers 13, and we'll start reading from verse 1. In Numbers 13, verse 1, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that thou may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Eternal, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, and those men were heads of the children of Israel." It then lists all the spies that were selected on behalf of their various tribes, dropping down to verse 16. "These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua." Notice here that Hosea, or Hosea, as some translations have it, the son of Nun, from the tribe of Ephraim, had his name changed to Joshua at this point. Hosea meaning salvation, Joshua meaning the Eternal is salvation. This was a key message to the spies, but as we'll go on to see, most of them didn't get it. What was their mission? Well, verse 17, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Notice the focus was on the land. Keep a marker here in Numbers, and let's turn to Joshua 2, and we'll see details of the second set of spies. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho." Straight away, there are several differences. There were only two unnamed spies, and they were sent to spy secretly, specifically on Jericho. This was a different type of mission to the mission that Joshua himself had taken part in 40 years before. Although the words are translated as spy or spies in both Numbers and Judges, two different words are used, which highlights the differences between the two missions. Back in Numbers 13, verses 16 and 17, where Moses sent them to spy out the land, the Hebrew word is Strong's number 8446, which means to seek, explore, to meander or search. It is used 13 times throughout the book of Numbers, and for 11 of those times it is translated as search. This was a reconnaissance mission. The spies were to explore the land and then report back. They were more explorers and reporters than what we think of as spies. Back in Joshua 2, the mission was a bit different. Carrying on in verse 1, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house, named Rahab, and lodged there. This was a much more covert and targeted operation. Details of their actual mission objective isn't recorded. More than this, and yet details of what happened to them and how they were saved by Rahab and the covenant they made with her fills the rest of the chapter. I'm sure the plan for Jericho was decided before the Israelites even took one step out of Egypt. The Eternal wasn't making this up on the fly. So what about the results of these two missions? If we go back to Numbers 13, keeping a other finger in Joshua, in Numbers 13, verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And then came the bad news. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land to the other south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up its inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come off the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. The evil report focused entirely on the people that inhabited the land that they could see. They never got the message that it was the Eternal who saves. Instead, they were overcome with fear. Continuing into chapter 14 and verse 1. Numbers 14 verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Eternal brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Zephaniah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And this is the true report that they should have given. In verse 7, and they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Eternal delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Eternal, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defence is departed from them, and the Eternal is with us. Fear them not. Joshua and Caleb got the message. They knew where their strength would come from, that it was the Eternal who saves. Then the situation gets so bad that the Eternal himself steps in to stop them stoning Joshua and Caleb, who were trying to give the true report. In verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Eternal appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Eternal said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown them, shown among them? Compare this with the report that the two spies brought back after their mission into Jericho, back in Joshua 2, verses 23 and 24. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Eternal hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. These two spies brought back a true report of the situation inside the walls of Jericho. The inhabitants were petrified, and for the last 40 years had known what was coming. As Rahab herself said in verses 9-11 of Joshua 2, and she said unto the men, I know that the Eternal hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Eternal dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Eternal your God, he is God, in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab got the message that most of Israel failed to get. It was the Eternal that was going to give them the land. You get the impression from the account of the spies that first went into the land that they didn't actually get the mood of the inhabitants, but rather viewed it from afar and decided not to venture any further. Had they had the courage to go closer or speak with someone from inside Jericho, they would have known that the people were more afraid of the Israelites and their God than the Israelites were of them. For Joshua and Caleb, it didn't matter. As far as they were concerned, if God had given them the land, then the current inhabitants were of little consequence. And this comes through in their report. So what about us today? What type of spies are we? Well, we haven't been tasked with secretive undercover missions like the spies sent into Jericho. We don't need to infiltrate the governments or systems of this world to find their weaknesses so we can take them over when Christ returns. He's got that part all under control. Christ is not coming to take over the running of this world's governments. He's coming to remove and replace this world's governments. As such, we're not called to be warriors in the kingdom of God. Our God doesn't need us to fight his battles for him. If there's any battle to be fought, then he'll do that himself. A very graphic example is the battle right at the end of the millennium, the kingdom of God having been established on this earth for 1,000 years. Satan then stirs up Gog and Magog together for battle, an army whose number is as the sand of the sea. And fire came down from God in heaven and devoured them. No mention at all of us, just fire came down from God in heaven and devoured them. We are, however, more like the initial spies that included Joshua and Caleb, selected to go and roam the land and report back. We can't roam through our promised land, as the kingdom of God is spirit and we are still very physical. But we have been selected, personally by God the Father himself, to live amongst the people of this world, to be in it but not of it, with a task of observing and reporting what we observe. Our future roles as king priests, both ruler and teacher, require that we develop the very character of God, and one key element to that is gained from observing. Observing what is going on around us, how people respond and react to different events, the decisions they make, and the results of those decisions, will help us to better able to teach the people of this age when they finally get their opportunity to come under the kingdom of God, whether that be during the millennium or following the second resurrection. But there is another aspect to being a faithful observer and a reporter. Our report has to be true and faithful. As a result of the false report that 10 of the 12 spies brought back, the whole nation of Israel lost any faith in God that they may have had and wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb and go back to slavery in Egypt. We need to watch and pray. Another way of saying, observe and report. God wants to hear from us daily. Just put in your notes 2 Peter 2 verse 8, which we read last week, talking about Lot. It says, verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day," or daily, "with their unlawful deeds." Just as Christ himself, as the eternal of the Old Testament, had a plan for how to conquer Jericho, there is also a plan for how this world will be conquered. And it's not going to be pleasant. In the personal, from the Plain Truth, March 1984, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Jesus Christ gave the warning in Matthew 24, Mark 11 and Luke 21, that, and when he said in Luke's version of his warning, 'Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man at his coming,' from Luke 21:36. He was giving you and me a promise of divine protection from these very things he had been describing, if we do watch world events as prophesied and remain obedient and continually in contact with God through prayer. Just as Joshua and Caleb fully understood that it was the Eternal who saves, so too must we. We can't afford to be overcome with fear of what from what we see around us, but we must trust in God who saves. And the end result, as Joshua and Caleb put it, if the Eternal delight in us, then he will bring us into the Promised Land."